Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact throughout our state through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned small businesses, and we're the largest local business coalition in North America, providing resources to over 3,000 small businesses in our great state. I am really excited today for our guest, Scott Martineau. He is the co-founder and chief marketing officer at Keep, formerly known as Infusionsoft, as I was introduced to it 7 years ago. He served in several different senior management roles at Keep since founding the company. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thomas, so good to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. I am personally just really excited about this conversation. I actually have been a user of the software and familiar with the company since I joined Local First 7.5 years ago. Has always been a great partner of ours. My first icon, I think, was in 2013 or something like that. And it's just been exciting to see the development of the company. If you're in Arizona doing business right now and you don't know Keep, I'd be surprised. But for those that haven't heard from you or maybe need an update, let's hear about the company, hear about your experience with it.
Great. Well, just a quick snapshot is Keep's a software company, and we have sales and marketing automation software specifically built for entrepreneurial small businesses. And so what sales and marketing automation software, it's a combination of a few things. One is CRM, so it's the core customer relationship management system, and it's combined with marketing automation tools that allow you to do automatic follow-up and sales automation tools to help you make sure you can close the sales for your hot leads. And then we also help with payments so you can actually get paid, which I know at least most entrepreneurs care a lot about. So that's a summary of what we're at. I assume we'll get in a little bit more to kind of our backstory, but we're a locally born and bred company. My wife and I both grew up in Mesa, and Clayton and his wife, which is my sister, grew up in Mesa. And then my other brother is our third co-founder. And we've been in Gilbert. We're currently in Chandler. And we've always loved the fact that we're building a business here. You know, as we went through our journey and raised capital and so forth, there was always this, well, are you going to move this to the valley? I'm like, no, we're in the valley, not the other valley.
Right.
And so we just love the fact that we're here, and we have an amazing team that, wakes up every day to go help entrepreneurs. So I love what the mission that we're up to, and I love what you're up to too, Local First Arizona. It's fantastic. Just anything that we can do to support entrepreneurs is, I know, so helpful. A lot of times business owners just feel alone and they need support and help. So love what we're up to.
Yeah. And, going back to that, the piece sharing, growing the company in the valley here and not the other valley. You've, as a company, somewhat been on an island in that space of tech, right? And it's grown over the years, but there's not many large tech companies headquartered in Arizona. And I'm sure there's been maybe pressure or question marks from investors or just people in general about, how is this happening in Arizona, or why is this company in Arizona? Has it always been a commitment from Keep and the founders of staying committed to our state, and what have you chosen to do to kind of make sure that you guys are embedded in the community here?
Yeah, well, it's probably the funny truth is it's probably we'll show you. If Clayton, my co-founder, if you want to see something get done, just tell him it can't be done and watch what happens. So there was a lot of that, admittedly, as we were going through the process. But also, I think this is sort of true to the entrepreneurial story that we're all about, which is entrepreneurship is about you bringing your unique self and your unique offering to the world in your unique way. And so I think we just always felt like, hey, why would we go, create some version of us that's not us. Let's go build this where we are. There's some practical reasons why we would never leave anyway. But yeah, I think it's been a commitment from the beginning. We've had satellite offices so we could serve our customers better. We have customers all over the world. So we've had an office on the East Coast and on the West Coast as well, and one up in Utah. And we've found that actually it's just better for us to stay centralized. And I think, you know, in today's COVID world, I think the idea of where you're headquartered sounds like it's probably going to end up being less important for a lot of other people. But I think it's always been, it's been important to us that we've been in Gilbert. It's been less important that we're all, you know, we're where the hotbed of tech startups are. So yeah, I think it's been fantastic.
Cool. So obviously the landscape of small businesses, even pre-COVID, has changed since Keep started. How's your mission to help those businesses evolved over those years, even into COVID, and how you're responding to what small businesses need right now?
I'm not sure how much you want me to go into the backstory, so I'll give you kind of just a high level answer, quick answer to that, and then we might get a little more context if I share kind of the history of the company. But I'd say early in the history of our company, we really focused in on a group of entrepreneurs who were very marketing savvy. We built some great software for them that was very powerful, and that, you know, that power has changed hundreds of thousands of lives. As we've evolved and looked at the market dynamics, the reality is most small business owners wouldn't consider themselves sophisticated marketers. And in many cases, they don't even really want to have to think about marketing, right? I think the most successful entrepreneurs realize that they need to. So I think probably the biggest shift we've seen as we've navigated is our mission today is about simplifying growth for small businesses. It's really about creating growth without the chaos. And that means we have to get better at being easier to use. There was a season where our reputation was, wow, this software will change your life, but it takes a lot to get up and running. And, you know, in full transparency, I still think anytime you're trying to tackle all of sales and marketing, what I mentioned, there's a decent amount of work, especially if there are significant changes that need to happen in the business. But I'm really just pleased with how the team has evolved. Our Keep, the experience in the Keep products is far easier than Infusionsoft. In fact, we're winning awards now on, you know, easiest CRM to use. And we're just launching what we call easy automations, which make building automations accessible to any human on the planet that has a pulse. So I think that's probably the biggest shift is we need to make things easier so that it requires less effort. That's really what, you know, most of the energy we spend is how do we make this easier for small businesses to get the benefits of automation without so much of the cost. You know, I think specific to COVID, I think really it's been a fascinating time. We've had a, you know, from a growth standpoint inside of Keep, it's been a fantastic year for us, despite how much turmoil is going on. And we've seen two things. One, there are businesses that are just, you know, hit so hard that they are crippled. But what I love about our customer base is the grit that is there. And we see it over and over again. And it's so inspiring to watch people who one day wake up and say, man, am I done? And their minds go to the place of saying, what is it going to take? How do I need to innovate? And we've seen some of the most inspiring stories in COVID is as business owners just dig deep and they go innovate and change models. And I was just watching, we've got a big campaign, a docuseries called Big Grit, which people can go to our website at keep.com and see that. But one of the stories I was watching last night is Brooklyn Music Factory. And he was specifically talking about how when COVID hit, he was in this sort of existential crisis. Like, is this an opportunity or is this devastating? I think was the quote, if I remember it right. And then he shared how he leveraged this opportunity to go create, to basically take his entire program online, which he'd been thinking about for years and thinking it would take him forever to do it. So he's kind of dragging his feet. And then all of a sudden he's like, and now we're here. And so I just, you know, I love the fact that we get to serve entrepreneurs and we get to watch that grit come through in times like this.
Yeah, that's, a similar experience from our perspective at Local First. It's, you know, as this thing came through and hit, especially in Arizona, you know, that mid-March period, it was I would say 3 weeks of just, you know, utter chaos and right. panic. Calls, fielding calls like of entrepreneurs and small businesses, literally in tears, like, what is going to happen? And, you know, this is my life. You know, this is all everything I've put into this business. And, you know, we kept getting calls and doing media interviews, you know, what is going on in this, what are small businesses experiencing? And I would always respond, you know, there's a lot of anxiety, like, as you could imagine, but also it's like, I mean, this group of people that's being the most impacted, or one of the groups being the most impacted, are the most innovative, adapting individuals, people, collective of people that exist in the world. Like, they do this because they adapt. And so, yes, this is trying times. Yes, this is, you know, probably the greatest thing they'll ever have to adapt to. But we're going to see more innovation. We're going to see things coming through the pipeline that are more exciting because of the opportunities that this unfortunate time period is causing. So I think it's been really
well said. Well said, Thomas.
What do you see as kind of getting into technology a little bit and kind of digging into what you were saying, making things easier? What is your team? What is the company experiencing as far as what small businesses, the fears they have around automation? I mean, small businesses, as you know, I hear from your team, I hear at your conferences all the time, they're really good at what they do, might not be the greatest at marketing and automation, might not be the greatest at technology. How do you, as a company, mitigate those fears? How do you commit to solving those problems? And I mean, even talking about lifecycle marketing and really getting into the tactics and strategies that small businesses can implement through your software. Talk a little bit about that.
Great. Yeah. So I'll actually just start with a story. So so we actually started this business as a custom software company back 2 decades ago. And that's a really challenging business to be in. Just by the way, it's hard. You're trying to sell your heart out and people don't want to pay and you're cutting your prices and then you end up doing twice the amount of work and then they want to pay late. And so we were sort of slogging our way through this. And, you know, Clate, who's the CEO of this $100 million business now, was basically he was everything except for billable hours at the time. And he was our sales team as well. And anyway, what happened is we were building custom software for a while. And eventually we found a marketing expert who was teaching businesses how to market. He came on and in fact, Clate was sitting around one afternoon and the phone rang and he picked it up and this guy blurts out, "I have pain. Can you help me?" And this turned out to be this marketing expert who was just a mess. He had great marketing, but horrible systems to track it all. So we started building things for him. And as we were doing that, and by the way, that ended up becoming the core of the software that we sell today. But as we were doing that, we started to learn strategies from him. And he started introducing us to other marketing experts that were teaching different industries how to market. And I'll never forget, we first started to implement. We were in the very similar place to what you're saying, Thomas. We were just like, we didn't know what to do. We were software, you know, people. Clate was a little more educated than Eric and I were, but I'll never forget the first time we put in place our very first automatic follow-up system or follow-up sequence. We offered a free guide for people. They could download it, and there was a series of messages that went out. And we turned this thing on, just kind of not really knowing what to expect. And I remember Eric and I are coding away one day, and Clate walks in and is like, "Guys, this is crazy. Like, I just got this email from somebody and he said he was ready to buy and I've never even talked to the guy." And we're like, "Cool, that's great." And then he left. He came back in later that day. He's like, "Guys, it just happened again." And you're like, "Okay, cool, Clate." And you're like, "Go away." Anyway, the next day, Clate barges into the room and he's like, "Guys, turn around. Look at me." He's like, "We are on to freaking magic. This stuff is amazing. It just happened again." And I cannot believe, you know, what's going on with this automatic follow-up. So I think, honestly, I think one of the first things that we have to do is help business owners recognize that there's just an easier way. You don't have to be the one that does every there's a way to leverage automation in a way that can grow your sales and do it without you having to be the one that spends all of the energy. And so I think it was great for us to have that experience because it's sort of, you know, baked into us the value of what it is that we're providing. But I think, you know, so once somebody's sold on the idea of what automation can do, then there's the big question, as you pointed out, okay, well, what the heck do I actually do? And so, you know, in fact, I'll be sharing this at ICON, which is our annual conference that's coming up here next week. But, I think most business owners, the analogy that I'm going to share is that most business owners, their sales and marketing strategy, if you just think about what's kind of the state of small business sales and marketing strategy. Most of the small business sales marketing strategy that I've observed for small businesses or in small businesses looks a lot like my daughter's 6-year-old soccer team, where the team is just out there like a swarm of bees running around the ball, just like with all their heart, just like going at it. But there's not a lot of structured plays. If you maybe compare that to a professional team that has structured plays and playbooks, and people understand the role of each of those plays and what it's out to accomplish. And so we've spent a lot of time developing a methodology. It's founded, we call it lifecycle marketing is sort of the underlying principle, but it helps business owners to think through their sales and marketing strategy by looking at their entire customer journey and deciding, okay, what are the plays I need to run? And there's three high-level categories of plays. What are the plays I need to run to collect more leads? What are the plays I need to run to convert those leads into customers and clients? And then what are the plays I need to run to make every one of my customers and clients a raving fan who not only buys more, but will tell all their friends about me and, you know, and spread word of mouth. And so we have a playbooking methodology where we actually help small businesses. And this is like, this really isn't even necessarily core to the software. It's just, we feel like it's an important thing that sets up the vision for what sales and marketing automation can do. So we have a playbooking methodology where we take a business owner and we help them evaluate their existing plays. What are the plays you have in place in these areas? And by the way, that's actually a really amazing and sort of calming experience for business owners because they can actually see their strategies all put together in one place. Sometimes marketing can get gobbled up, kind of like that soccer team. We're just running around. Everybody's like, you know, swarming the ball. And this just helps spread everything out. And you can see your entire sales and marketing plan. What's cool about that is you can also see the gaps you have. So you can understand, oh, I'm completely missing a play. No wonder the other team is scoring on us here. We got a, you know, missing play. And so, you know, I find that process helps in a few ways. One, it calms the chaos, as I said, finds the gaps, but it also creates focus. So a lot of times it's overwhelming. If a business owner is sitting at a certain revenue amount, they want to grow. The playbooking process we put together helps them see exactly what would need to happen. So, and what's surprising is when you use this playbook, the way that, and as it turns out, the work you have to do when you break it into smaller chunks is much more understandable and believable to be done. And I think a lot of times business owners want to go and attack the whole, you know, boil the whole ocean in order to get their company to grow. But if you can just identify it, no, actually, if I put these three plays in place, and if each of those plays did their part to capture just a few more leads and increase my conversion just a little bit more and increase the value of each client by just a few dollars, that actually can create tremendous growth. And so there's kind of a believability thing, right? It's a confidence thing to say, all right, I'm clear what I need to do next. I'm clear how that's going to impact me. And then, you know, then it's about actually getting after that specific work, just getting focused and making a decision to go run that one play and then measure and see how that play is performing. So, you know, it's, I think maybe in summary, after that long-winded answer, I think for us, it's all about, you know, sales and marketing automation is really all about sales and marketing strategy. When you get that strategy filled out and you get the plays identified that you need to run, automating those plays becomes the natural next step because many of those plays can be automated where you can deliver an even more personalized experience for your clients and your prospects and leads. But you can just have automation take care of the work where you can't really add any value. And you know, the beauty of that is it frees the entrepreneur up to do the things that are most valuable in those relationships where only humans can do the work. So anyway, that's how we think about it. You know, from a strategy perspective all the way down to execution.
That's cool. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't own my own business, but I learned a lot of the tendencies or strategies behind entrepreneurship from an entrepreneur. Our founder of Local First, Kimber, has been a small business owner for since she was 18 years old. And, you know, we're a nonprofit organization, but I one of our core values is being entrepreneurial, because that's how we approach everything. And so we're a super unique organization, I think, through having that aspect of what we do. And it is once you, if you, you know, have the perspective of, you know, entrepreneurial mindset, you want to, you know, boil the whole pot and tackle these big things. And, you know, it's go, go, go. But these practices of setting your playbook, like you're saying, your tactics, your real strategy, and narrowing down those things, it is probably the most important part, because you can go after everything, but without a plan, without a strategy, you end up just throwing too many things at the wall that don't stick. Yeah. So, yeah.
I realize sometimes when we talk about playbooks and plays, it's a little abstract. So let me just give an example of something I see. This is just an example. There are many I could share, but if somebody, let's say that one of your listeners has a consultative sales process, meaning they'll do some sort of a free consultation or a meeting to assess things. And, you know, if they took a step back and they looked at their conversion rates, you know, how often when I have one of these consultations, is it resulting in a sale? Let's say that I evaluated that and I'm closing at a 30% rate or a 20% rate, whatever. Well, one of the plays that I often see missing is there's this window between the time that you have a consult scheduled and the time that you actually have the consult. And a lot of times business owners don't have a play in place to do what I call persuasion. So what do we want when we set up a consultation like this? First of all, we want the other person to show up. It's important that they show up. And second, we want them to be predisposed to purchasing with us even before they show up. So, you know, if you think about it, if you're ever going to meet with somebody, how you view them going into that consultation makes a big difference with your attitude when you show up. So for example, one of the plays that I might recommend to a business owner would be, what's your consult reminders and persuasion play? Specifically, that play has one goal, and that's to get people to show up and have them predisposed to buy. So the play becomes very simple. Okay, somebody scheduled a consult, you know, maybe you've scheduled it, or you can have that scheduled online automatically. And then we're going to send reminders so they show up. You know, typically there's an immediate confirmation. There's usually a day before reminder and a day of reminder sent out via either email and or text. But then there's also an important part there, which is, what are you doing to prepare their mind so that they're predisposed to purchasing with you? So, you know, a play there would recommend things like, what can you do to establish your credibility? You know, so for example, it might say, hey, in that confirmation email, let's include a link that says, hey, I'd like to have you watch this before we get together. It'll give you a little bit more understanding of what I'm all about. And then that person can watch the video, and now they're having this experience where they're, you know, you're able to create this experience for that prospect or lead that has them looking at you and saying, oh wow, this person, yeah, they really know their stuff, right? Now, how automation can come into play there is, what if you send that out and somebody hasn't clicked on it and it's the day of the appointment? Well, you can have a simple automation in place that says, hey, if they haven't yet clicked on that persuasion message, just send a little nudge out to them and say, hey, want to make sure you watch this video before you show up for the appointment. If they've already clicked it, you're not going to want to send that again because you kind of look stupid, right? Like you don't really know what's going on. So that's just a simple example. And the reason I bring up something like that is, if you can take your conversion rate from 20% to 30% or 30% up to 40%, that means with all the existing leads and appointments that you're already scheduling today, you can create money and revenue out of thin air. So it's like, and that, like, if you were to say to somebody, well, how do you go grow your sales by 50% or by 40% or whatever that math works out, that feels very overwhelming. But if you say, hey, here's a missing play, let's try putting this in place and see what happens to your conversion rate. And now I can just focus in on that one play, get it automated. The beautiful thing about automation is I get that thing automated. Now every appointment that I have is going through that automation, and now I can put my focus on other things that, you know, are more meaningful in my business. So hopefully that's a concrete example that helps your listeners understand what we're talking about there.
Yeah, that's cool. So you mentioned, I mean, Keep is doing this type of training. Is that correct? And it's open to anyone that's interested?
That's right. In fact, we're gonna do a special training for the local First Arizona audience. And
oh, cool.
We're putting together a playbook session where we're actually going to walk people through and show you what I'm talking about with this playbook. And we'll give everybody an opportunity to have a custom playbook created themselves. And it's really great. We're going to, I think for business owners who have never thought this way, I think it's just a slight shift in the way you're thinking about your strategy that I think your listeners will find extremely helpful. So if anybody's interested, I've got a URL that people can go to, and we can maybe list this in the show notes as well, but it's keepnow.com, keep spelled K-E-A-P, so keepnow.com/LFA playbook. So Local First Arizona Playbook, LFA playbook. So keepnow.com/LFA playbook. You know, anybody who's interested in what we're talking about here and wants to come learn a little bit more and maybe get your strategy in a place you feel a little more confident, see some of the gaps and plays that you might be missing out on, love to invite them to come learn.
Awesome. That's exciting. I can't wait about it. And I'll even bring some members of our team. That's exciting. We'll drop the link in the show notes. And then if you're listening to this and we've passed that webinar, we'll make sure to record it and drop it as well, so you can get in on the action that may have already happened. Scott, really appreciate you being here today. Any final thoughts, last things you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Honestly, just my appreciation and respect goes out to all of you entrepreneurial listeners. I love the fact that you're taking you know, the world's problems into your own hands and showing up with your unique solution. And I hope that you're feeling supported and enthusiastic. You know, I think probably we didn't spend much time talking about this today, but I think if I had any advice to you, it would be pay as much attention to your mindset and the way that you're thinking, you know, the thoughts you're allowing to stay around inside your brain, because it can be discouraged. You know, if you let your brain do its natural job, which is to protect you, you know, help you avoid things like embarrassment and failure and pain, your brain's going to feed you a lot of thoughts that are not really productive for you. But part of entrepreneurship for me is about creation. You're creating something in the world. And I think it all starts with the way that you think. And so I just encourage you to, you know, keep going, keep serving, keep growing your business, and recognize that you've got inside of you what it takes. I've just seen, you know, I'm a firm believer that as entrepreneurs start out in their domain, they have this intuition that if you can just calm yourself down enough and believe enough in yourself and just keep going, that you'll find the answers. And, you know, the worst thing you can do is let your brain take over and out of fear, you know, allow it to convince you to just give up. That's the kind of the nemesis, right, of entrepreneurship. So thank you for what you're doing, everybody. And I hope this is an amazing, you know, end of year for you. I hope next year you're set up to have an amazing year. If there's anything we can do to help, we're all about it. And Thomas, I appreciate what you're doing to help small businesses as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Scott. Appreciate everything you do and Keep does for Arizona and small businesses across the world. So really appreciate you being here today.
Great.
We hope you listeners were inspired today listening to Scott, working to leave a local legacy right here in Arizona through doing good business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Phoenix Business Radio X, for hosting us and all of our legacy partners at Local First, including Keep. This is Thomas Barr from Local First Arizona, reminding you that if we want to build a better Arizona, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.